This is RumorMillNewsRadio.com, and we are talking with a real live Cherokee medicine woman of the bloodline. And there aren't a lot of them around that really go public these days. You'll get a few people who kind of steal the stories and write them up in books and make a lot of money off them. But Jasmine hasn't written books yet, and let me tell you, I know full well she's got 1,000 inside her. Jasmine, what about
I am actually real and alive, and...
You actually have what?
I'm actually real and alive, and breathing. At least for the moment.
That's good. Anyway, we were just about to talk about the war that was 10,000 years ago between...
Well, actually, honey, you say 10,000 years ago. Actually, every couple of thousand years, for probably the last 35,000 years, there's been a major war between North and South.
And those are the things that we never hear about.
Well, not to put down my brothers and sisters, the Toltecs, the Aztecs, the Incas, the Mayans, right? But back in the day, they were bloody. They were very much into human sacrifices. They were very much into conquering others so that they would have fodder for their temples and their human sacrifices. They were big into that. And we objected.
What did you object to? What part of their religion did you object to?
Human sacrifice.
Human sacrifice. Okay.
Okay. That was a real bone of contention between us. And then they kept trying to conquer us and kept making raids on our southern tribes. And this got up our nose.
Boy.
And every now and then, they would, like, actually manage to get together and stage this big military upswing to try to conquer the southern tribes and move into North America. And when they do that, we'd all get together, even if we were, like, having arguments with our neighbors, right? That would solidify us, and we'd all get together and go rushing down and kick their butts back south.
So in other words, the people that are indigenous to North America would join together as a gigantic army.
Right.
Of all these independent tribes, and they would go to fight and send the
interlopers,
southern invaders, packing. Is that what you said?
Right.
Now, what was the part that the Zero Chiefs played in this, and the Flower Warriors?
Well, they were fighting against them there in Central America, right? And it would just get to be too much for them on occasion, and they would migrate up north.
Now, are the Mayans descended from the Flower Warriors, or were the Flower Warriors of the Mayans? Because the Mayans seem to be different than the Aztecs and the Toltecs.
Well, the Mayans started out as being our southernmost tribe, our southernmost clan of the Tosolaji of the Cherokee. Okay, that's how it all started. But now you're talking like 30,000 years ago at least. Okay.
Uh-huh.
But they fell under the influence of the Aztec, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they built a temple and started human sacrifices, and we were like, no. Bad clan. Sit, stay.
Oh,
and,
boy.
And gave them the option of either moving further down south and joining them, or having the medicine people, the Atagasi, come among them and teach them why they should not do that, or there was going to be trouble.
Now, what's an Atagasi?
Atagasis are a specific type of medicine person.
Mm-hmm.
They're a medicine person who's basically been born without the forgetting.
Okay, I got it. They've got their memory.
Right. They retain their memory of past lives.
Okay.
You don't got to regress them or anything for it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
so, our people depend upon them because with that past life remembering, they're a great boon to the establishing and the continuation of the continuity of things.
And, of course, the reason that we're not allowed to believe in past lives right now is the people who are in power wouldn't be able to pull the wool over our eyes if we didn't have, you know, if we hadn't had the...
Oh, yes.
Tortured out of us and beat out of us and, you know, we're told that
exactly.
We're of the devil if we remember them.
Exactly.
So...
Exactly.
And it's just...
If a person can access the knowledge that is contained in their soul, right, there's no way to enslave them in any way, shape, form, or fashion.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And I think many of the great martyrs who went to their death, under torture, were people that had such a close relationship with God, with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
that it was almost as if they had remembered it from their past lives.
Yeah, I agree.
And when you know the truth, it doesn't matter, you know, if you're tortured and killed. This body's just like a raincoat. When it gets old, you throw it away.
It matters. It matters. Okay. But you perceive it a bit differently. You know, it doesn't hold fear for you. You don't particularly wish to be tortured and killed.
Of course not. Nobody wants that.
You know? Hello, you know. But you're also not willing to give up your soul to prevent that from happening.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's whether you lose your body or you lose your soul.
Right.
And the people, the Adigasi, they knew what's important. It's the soul. You do not want to damage the soul or pervert the soul.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so the mind...
This is where the Native American expression comes from. It is a good day to die.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You know, it is a good day to die.
Yeah.
You know, if that's my only option.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Nancy Wood.
I don't know if you saw on Rumor Mill, but I was just trying to honor... a group of German young people, all in their early 20s, all college students, who were known as the White Rose. And their theme song for the White Rose was, Die Gedanken sind frei. My thoughts are free, and this gives me pleasure. My conscience decrees this right I shall treasure. I've been posting about them, because they were distributing leaflets about what Hitler was really doing to the Jews and to various other people. And they were captured, they were convicted, and they were beheaded. And right before she was beheaded, the young girl, she basically said something just like that, it's a good day to die.
Yeah.
And then she said...
That is the, you know, it's not like saying, okay, you know, I'm going to die today. Right.
Mm-hmm.
What it's saying is, I will not compromise.
That's right.
I will not compromise my soul. I will not compromise my life. Right.
And I wonder how many people in the world today
will
not compromise.
You know, there's a saying these days, freedom isn't free.
That's right.
And the people who came up with that, I don't think they really know what that means. But that is true. Right? You know, this is the thing I try to teach people, right? You've come to America. You're Americans now. There are things here intrinsically in this land, in the spirit of this continent, and freedom is one of it. And I think that it is time Americans learned just what that means. You know,
what does that mean to you?
Oh, it means self-responsibility. It means being responsible for myself and what goes on around me. It means being prepared to stand up and say, that ain't right, and I'm tired of what ain't right. That ain't right. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. It's not fair. It's not just. There's no equality to this.
I think there's a lot of people in this audience that are looking at our government at all levels right now and are saying exactly that. This isn't fair. This isn't just.
No, this is not right. Yeah. I mean, my grandmother taught that when, and everybody please excuse me for using these terms, but these are the terms that my grandmother used, okay? My grandmother would say that when the white man was busy stealing from us, that he really didn't go far enough, particularly with his so-called constitution. Because what he stole was just the words, without the concepts, without the principles, without the teachings that go along with them, they don't really mean very much. And I think this is what Americans are finding out, that what the founding fathers did were only words. They couldn't take, they didn't know how to take the steps to teach the people. And without that, this is why greedy, selfish, insane people could come along and divert it and take your freedoms away from you.
That's right. That's exactly right.
Under the circle of law, as taught by the flower soldiers, as taught by the Pleiadians, every single member of your community, every single member of your society, of your culture, should be accountable. Should be accountable for their actions and the actions of those around them. That they should know what the laws are. That they should actively participate in what they need and what their communities need. You know, and Americans back then, they weren't taught that. And I got to give it to them because they are really scrambling now to try to learn these things. To try to learn about community, to try to learn how to be self-responsible. You know, I gotta give it to them and I support them in it. Which is why I'm here, in their culture, instead of living on a reservation among my own.
Exactly. Now, if you were to go back to the reservation, where would you go?
Oh, I'd probably go to my grandfather. My Cheyenne grandfather.
And where's that reservation?
Oh, Wyoming.
Oh, Wyoming. It's such a wonderful state. Beautiful
yes,
state.
But that's where the Cheyenne reservation is. That's probably where I would go if I returned to my people.
I actually was traveling through Wyoming one day, and something happened to the car. And it sounded like I was dragging something from the car. So I got out, pulled off on a road, got out to see what was underneath the car. I had driven right into the middle of a medicine wheel.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I wonder what that meant. Probably nothing, but I stayed there quite some time, took some, moved the car, of course, so that I could be in the wheel by itself. But my God, it was right next to the road. No signs around, nothing.
Well, see, a lot of people now have heard about medicine wheels, but they really don't know what they are.
Well, now, you were in Hawaii, weren't you? No, you were in the Philippines. I was in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I've got the story from the Philippines about the wheels, the Minihuni wheels. And you tell me the story about the medicine wheel, and I'll see if it's the same story that I heard in Hawaii about their medicine wheels.
Well, my people call them wisdom fires. Okay.
Wisdom fires?
Wisdom fires.
Okay.
But the flower warriors called them medicine wheels, or that's how the word they used has been translated. It's basically a collection of quartzite or crystalline or crystal stones arranged in a particular configuration that causes the stones to actually, like, join forces. They blend their energies.
You're talking about computers that can talk to each other, right?
Yes, basically.
And so the stones are not just any stone that you go pick up anywhere you want to pick it up.
No.
It's a sacred stone.
Yes. It's a type of stone.
A type of stone. Okay.
And you arrange it in a certain configuration, okay, which is actually aligning it with the four directions and the ley lines of the area, so forth and so on. In any case, for us, they were our equivalent of universities. Many of our medicine wheels are like 40, 50, maybe 60,000 years old. Okay. And we download information into them. Whenever a medicine person or a shaman or an Anagasi, whatever, is getting ready to drop their robe, getting ready to pass over, they visit several of these medicine wheels and download their information into the stones. So a medicine...
How do they do that? How do they download? How does a human download into a stone?
I know how to. I've done it. I don't know how to explain it to you in English. I'm sorry.
Is it sort of, I don't know, like you just hold it and meditate, or...
Well, you go to the center of the circle and you sit in it. You connect with the stones, join with the energy of that's flowing from the stones, and then you just give them your information.
Amazing. And that is the identical story that I heard from a kahuna in Hawaii.
Yeah.
I was visiting the Druids, the Celts, the Berbers.
This is the way the Aborigines use them. You know, they're like universities. And anyone who's studying a particular body of knowledge, right, once they get to a certain place within that knowledge, they can go to one of these stone circles and sit in the middle of it, and the stone circle will download that information into them. The stone circle doesn't lose it. It's like it teaches them.
And that's why when the missionaries came over, the first thing they did was destroy all the Minihune stone circles.
Right. And that's what they did here, too.
Yeah, I can believe that. Now, you had the good fortune of being in the Air Force, and so you were stationed in England for a while, and you were stationed in the Philippines for a while.
Yes.
And I know the story of England is really fascinating.
Yeah, I took full advantage.
And
right,
so,
you know, I hit the ground looking for the native peoples, right, and studied with the Druids, the Celts, the Berbers, the Buddhists, had a lot of fun studying Zen Buddhism.
I'm more interested in the Druids and the Celts, though.
Sure you are.
That's my heritage.
Yes.
So what... You know, so many people don't realize that the Druids actually had universities with walls. And
yes.
They had students. I mean, they were living a
well,
life.
Well, their stone circles were like classrooms.
Yeah, well, that's true, too. But they actually had real classrooms and real books where they were teaching things. And then when...
Right. Well, so did my people. This is where our scrolls and our medicine belts came into use. This is why we went to so much trouble to preserve them way before we were ever discovered, right, to preserve them and keep them new and fresh for the next batch of students that would study from them.
Exactly. And I'm wondering who really wiped out the Druids. Was it the, I don't think it was the Romans. I think they cooperated with the Romans.
Yeah, it was the Christians.
I know. Isn't that sad?
You know, not to insult any of my Christian brothers or sisters, right? But, you know, you guys all have a pretty bloody history.
Yeah. I mean, we're right at the moment, we're scared to death of the Muslim religion because we think...
Yeah, but the Muslims don't got nothing over them. I mean,
you know... I mean, the Christians need to realize that back in history, that was the way... Christians were looked at. The way we're looking at the Muslims right now is the way other people in other countries looked at the Christians. I mean,
well, and to complicate matters, it hasn't really stopped. You know, they're still trying to impose their religion on other countries. They call it missionary work. They call it evangelicalism or something like that. Right.
I know, and our audience.
You know, they're still propagating that mass.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
at least we're not killing people these days, though. You
we're
know, we're
not.
Talking about we're introducing the religion of Jesus, and Jesus is just a wonderful human.
The peacemaker was just.
And that was what
my.
You knew him as here in this country. He was called the peacemaker.
Right. You know, wonderful, wonderful teacher. And yes, I do believe that he was the Son of God. I do.
I do too. I do
and,
too.
And, you know, but as he said, we all are.
And as he also said, these things I do, you shall do them too. That's my
mm-hmm.
own version of his words, though.
You know, and even greater.
And even greater, exactly.
You know,
and,
I mean,
and
you know,
so
he left us wonderful teachings. He mm-hmm. left us wonderful prophecies, you know, and, you know, we absolutely adored him.
But we didn't
have any Romans mm-hmm. at the time anyway, you know. So, you know, and he didn't, you know, at the risk of offending somebody, right? We just didn't see the need to put him to death. We believed him.
Yes.
You know, there was a group of us around, you know, when he came into the world,
mm-hmm.
and we believed in him. We believed he was who he said he was. We
now,
believed
do you believe
that he was who our hearts told us we were. Told
Jesus,
us he was.
There are many missing years in Jesus. We know of his life, you know, while he was a young boy working with Joseph, his father, in the carpentry. But then there's quite a number of years between about age 9 and about, you know, 32 when he comes back and starts preaching. Now, do you believe that he went to the Americas during those missing years?
No. He's a symmetrically incarnating being. Right.
Okay.
Which, you know, he did a couple of lifetimes here, he did a lifetime there, he did a lifetime over here, he did a lifetime over there, you know.
And so
it was a whole period of time when our species here needed him.
Yes, I mean, with
you
all
know?
The blood sacrifices going on in that world, they
exactly.
definitely needed him.
Exactly, you know. And so, you know, he did lifetimes among all of the people. And I'm sure that he would have had the ability to do such a thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think he did. Because our history of him here among the tribes lasts like close to 300 years.
Oh my gosh. That is extraordinary.
Yeah.
I didn't realize
that. He would live.
You know, there's very few.
He would live a lifetime, and then he'd pop up again and not among another tribe, and live a lifetime
mm-hmm.
there, and then he'd pop up again among another tribe and live a lifetime there. You know, and you know, it's like you know, yeah, you know, our combined histories of him last probably at. Close to 300 years, if not maybe more.
Wow, that's amazing. What are records? Oh, you know, I'm hearing the music. We're going to have to take this up on the other side. But I'd like to know if your scrolls, your sacred scrolls, what is said in the scrolls about the peacemaker? You're listening to RumorMillNews.com on the Micro Effect Radio Network, and we'll be back. With a Cherokee medicine woman. Jasmine, I was going to ask you about the records of Peacemaker. I know there are many tribes in North America, at least, and I think in South America also, that have records of this man visiting. Do the Cherokee scrolls talk about him?
Oh, yes. Very much.
And can you share some of the things they say?
Well, it was believed that he would always be born of a woman who didn't know a man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that the stars would always predict when he was coming. And that's how he came among us.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, let's see.
So it's not the same as the South American legends where he arrived in a ship.
Right. That's not him.
Okay.
Okay.
So he was
he went down there, but he got sacrificed.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know that.
Just like in the Middle East.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, those type of cultures, anybody that is in disagreement, anybody that tries to convince them that they might want to try peace, they might want to give peace a chance,
mm-hmm.
right, winds up dead.
And so what other things did the scrolls say about his teachings?
Well, he taught us how to use tobacco.
And
which is an unpopular subject these days. Well, tobacco is considered a sacred herb,
mm-hmm.
and calms the spirit, promotes communication, and is a fabulous gift to give to the nature spirits. They like using it for the same reasons. It's a community thing.
And so you can sprinkle it over your plants, and your plants will grow better.
Yes, because that gets the blessings of the nature spirits for them.
And you're saying natural tobacco, not the kind that smoke.
Oh, heavens, you know, anybody that smokes that stuff, it's going to kill you.
Yeah, but natural tobacco, and right at the moment, it's getting harder and harder to get. We used to be able to buy American spirits, but they've been bought out by one of the tobacco companies. But that literally allows you to talk with God. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Well,
well and,
no,
better,
our government
and better talk
want
to each
to
other.
It.
I mean, you know, we believed that if we increase the communication between each other, okay, then together we can talk to God.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jasmine, I'm sure a lot of people have questions, so let's at least open the lines and give people a chance to ask you. And then I want to get into the Native American dances versus martial arts. But first, if you've got a question
There's
for Jasmine,
difference.
Our number is 888-747-1968, 888-747-1968. And I wanted to ask you about various dances that we see Native Americans doing. You once told me that those aren't dances. Those
no.
are like the martial arts movements that were taught by the flower warriors.
Yes.
And so
and actually the peacemaker taught us
that.
The circle dance. Huh? The song that's playing, the circle dance.
Oh yes, uh-huh.
That was taught to us by the peacemaker.
Oh. he didn't teach martial arts, did he?
Yes.
So these war dances are actually, of course, you know, I'm certain that the real war dances and the martial arts movements aren't really taught anymore. But what you're saying is
No, they are.
Are they?
They are.
The real same ones?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing. I figured that had been lost.
And
in
anybody
history.
That goes to a powwow gets a real good view of them.
I know you've studied martial arts. What's the similarity and the differences?
I'd be hard pressed to pick them out.
So they're actually pretty much the same thing, is what you're saying.
Right. It's just that when you use them to dance, right, you sort of lose yourself in the beat of the drum and the sound of the flute and the energy of the dancing.
It reminds me in ways of the hula dance. People think that that's just a hula dance, but it started off being a healing dance to balance the body in a very similar way to, you know, what an acupressure...
Well, that is a part of our dances.
I was just going to say it had to be, because I'm seeing such a similarity between the native inhabitants of Hawaii and the inhabitants of North America.
Well, it was the peacemaker who helped us understand the flower warrior concept that's basically this. Okay, now my English just left me. I just had it. It's right there, but I'm having a hard time getting it out in English.
Well, why don't you say it in Cherokee first, and then maybe we'll all drink it in and understand it completely.
Etha, ena isawa idaito isafa, ena isawa. Which means, violence is a tool of ignorance.
I think we all agree.
Okay. However, if someone is using their ignorance to try to do harm, it is your duty, your self-responsibility, to thwart them in any way you can.
Well, that makes perfect sense. So you're saying that the peacemaker, or the flower warriors, is there a connection between the flower warriors and the peacemaker?
Yeah.
I kind of figured there had to be. So the peacemaker...
They liked him very much. We liked him very much.
Mm-hmm.
We all fought the world in all of him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, why we didn't, like, sacrifice him or crucify him or anything.
But the tribes from down south, they still believe in human sacrifice about this
yes.
same time.
Well,
that.
This is why the flower warriors kept migrating up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, we would get migrations from the people down south that were trying to get away from all of that. And we understood, and we would give them a place.
I don't think we really stressed how much that the flower warriors, I mean, the teaching about the flower warriors here in this country, you just couldn't do that. I can't pronounce the man's last name, but his first name is Hieronymus. And he wrote that incredible book whose name I can't remember at the moment.
It's not well, talk it in the language you can remember it in.
Well, I have to talk it by going over and picking it up.
Lightning Bolt. Mr. Storm.
What is his last name? I can't pronounce it. His
Storm.
Last name is Storm.
His last
name
is Storm.
And the first name looks like Hieronymus.
I don't even try. He's a wonderful man. I don't even try to pronounce his first name.
Well, his book, Lightning Bolt, is no longer in print. You have to be lucky like I was and find it on eBay sometime. But one of the things that he said, I don't remember if it was in the book or if it was somewhere else, he said that when he first wrote about the flower warriors, you know, he received threats to his life. And,
oh,
we
haven't,
people,
yes.
People would say, don't you know you're not supposed to write about this stuff? They'll kill you if you write about this stuff.
Yes.
And then he wrote about it, And then he wrote it
as if it was a fiction.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So, you know, that is how he's been able to get away with it.
Well, I don't think that this book, Lightning Bolt, is fiction. But then maybe again, I think you're
right. It's listed as fiction.
Yeah, you're right. It isn't, though. But that
no,
is,
it's not.
That's how
you
he
know.
Was able to get away with it.
Right.
What is it about the flower warriors that makes our government or a certain hidden agency within our government so afraid that they will literally kill people that teach about the flower warriors?
Because, dear, it's those concepts that have kept Native Americans still a viable people with a viable culture after 500 years of the worst genocide ever enacted upon a single race on the planet.
So you're saying it's the concepts of the flower warriors that the flower warriors are still instilling in Native Americans.
This is how we have survived.
Is how you've survived. And so does our government fear that a zero chief is going to appear among the natives and unite all the tribes against our government here?
And that's the prophecy.
Well, you know, I can see that prophecy actually coming to manifest, because look at what our government is right now. I mean,
yeah.
Do the people would like to join a flower warrior tribe and protest against this?
Yes.
You know, I'm adopted. I was adopted into a tribe of the Chief Josephs. I can't even remember my own tribe's name. I can't believe
it. Nez Perce.
The Nez Perce. Thank you very much. I read Chief Joseph's book about the same time it came out. It came out in the 50s. And I was precocious for my age. I must have been 6 or 7. And I read that book. And it's like Chief Joseph has been one with me. And when you introduced me to his grandson, Jasmine, I don't think I ever told you, but on the Mormon side of our white family, he and I are cousins. And so he's Chief Joseph's grandson, but he and I are related.
Well, no, darling, that's what he claims to be.
Oh, are
okay.
You going to tell me that my hero has feet of clay?
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh.
The Nez Perce do not claim him.
Oh, no.
Chief Joseph never claimed him or his line.
Or his line.
Okay. The Native Americans have pretty much had their fill of him now.
Oh, my gosh. It looks like I've got to find another Native American tribe to get adopted into.
Well, darling, you really don't need to.
Why not?
Because you are.
Well,
all Americans are. They just don't realize it.
And that was
Native American cultures. Native American cultures are cultures of assimilation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And what I can actually see is if our culture breaks down the way I see it could, because how are you going to rebuild a country that has had everything shipped offshore? We have no money to buy anything, virtually no gold. The only thing that we have are our hands and, you know, the sweat of our brow. And so what are we going to do? And I can see a lot of people going back and trying to live off the land. And
well, as the elders say,
mm-hmm.
We were here before.
Mm-hmm.
We are here now. We will be here after.
Yes. That's very much what that song, One Step Into the Light, says. We were here before time began. And we will be here afterwards.
A line in one of Rita's Waela songs
mm-hmm.
says that we were here when we were Earth's children, when the earth was made.
And that That's essentially what I think you said. The scrolls said
that
the Cherokee were the root stock that was brought to this planet.
Right. And we were here before.
That's right.
We are here now,
mm-hmm.
and we ain't going nowhere. We hear Mother Earth. We know when to move. We know how to bob and weave. When her changes are finished, we will still be here to build the new world.
You've been talking about Earth changes, and some of the times when you're talking about Earth changes, you're saying that people are going to have to be mobile. You know, to literally be able to move.
Well, one of the big things that people have been asking me pretty much this entire Earth walk is, where can we go to be safe, Jazz? And I always giggle. I said, it depends upon your definition of that word.
Yeah.
If you're looking to go somewhere where absolutely nothing is going to happen, then, you know, you're going to need to go off planet.
Yes.
You know, and I suggest you take up residency in another solar system.
Well, I think the New World Order is about getting ready to do that. I think they, people are waking up. You know, we're not going to take their crap that much longer. And so what if they break us down into pre-civilization? We'll still be here.
We'll still be here.
Let them go.
And humans, a human being is an incredibly adaptable species. Right? We will make do. We will figure out our way.
Mm-hmm.
We will build a new world.
And we absolutely
And the NWO and all their cronies can't stop that from happening.
They think they can. They think that, you know, as we're beginning to wake up right at the moment, you know, they're thinking, well, what are we going to do? We're going to drop a bomb on them, and then we'll blame it on the Iranians. Or shall we just, you know, burn them out like we're doing to California, have a few more earthquakes, and maybe we'll set off the, you know, Yellowstone caldera. And so, you know, they're thinking all these things where they can absolutely destroy us, you know, turn us into warring tribes, start civil war, whatever they're starting. But, you know, after it's all said and done, humans are still going to be around, and there's still going to be a lot of people that remember, you know, who was behind it all. Because we've got a lot of radio shows. We've got a lot of newspapers. In fact, I want to tell people to tune in tomorrow, because I've been trying to get people in small towns to realize that they can start their own newspapers. And we had Jack and Ange on from Rumor Mill News teaching how people can do it in their own small little tiny town.
Oh, that's so cool, because here in our community we have our own newspaper.
Wonderful. You know, started by ordinary humans.
Yeah.
Tomorrow I'm going to be interviewing Ed Snook of the U.S. Observer in Oregon, and he's pioneering an idea that will, with all of our help, make the U.S. Observer a nationwide regional newspaper. And
oh,
so we'll be talking with him the first hour. And then I'm going to talk with Jeff Lawrence of USA Tomorrow. And that USA Tomorrow is the first national non-mainstream media newspaper. It's delivered to your home. It's a real newspaper. You can hold it in your hands, read it on the bus, or while you're eating lunch. Finally, it's a real newsprint newspaper that tells the truth about what's going on. And if you want to do your homework on this, so you'll be able to call in and ask questions of Jeff and Ed, you can look up Ed's website at usobserver.com, usobserver.com, and you can check out Jeff's paper at usatomorrow.us, usatomorrow.us.
That's totally cool.
Well,
see, this
I
is what I'm saying,
I've been
you know.
Trying to pioneer
it's
the
so
ideas.
Wonderful because Americans, you know, they're catching on. People think that Americans are asleep. They ain't asleep.
No, we've
you know,
really
they're
wide
just
awake
sitting there scratching
audience.
Their heads going, okay, we need some real ideas here.
And you know what's going to happen very shortly is all of those people that elected Barack Obama, they're going to be waking up too. Because they're going to find out, guess what? There's no change here. Change?
No.
Show me the change. There's no change.
No.
All anyone has to do is look at his cabinet. He's putting in the Clinton's cabinet. We're going to have the Clintons running the government again. And interestingly enough, there's one of these rumor mongers. I mean, I run Rumor Mill News, and everybody calls me a rumor monger, but there's other rumor mongers out. And one of them, Tom Hennigan, has a rumor out now that just really seems absolutely true, that the Clintons are blackmailing Obama. And that's how they're getting all of these appointments. And, you know, it just feels right. Sometimes when I read things, I go by my internal truth detector. And that's
well,
that's
your internal truth detector is tied directly in to your soul's memory.
That's
so
correct.
If I was you, I would listen to it. Huh.
Well, Jasmine, what kind of parting wisdom can you give us right now? We were talking about, I mean, everybody has asked you about the end times and the earth changes because, you know, that's what Cherokee medicine women are supposed to know about. So,
yeah.
Yeah. So tell me what I'm supposed to do to survive.
Get mobile. Lighten up.
Get mobile
taking
and lighten
yourself
up.
And everything around you quite so seriously. Politicians are politicians, and they're always going to be greedy, grubbing, lowlife. Okay, that's just their nature.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I'm not trying to insult them. That's just their nature. To say a skunk, if it gets mad, is going to spray you, it's not an insult to the skunk. It's just a fact.
That's right.
And that's just the way these people are. They're very injured. They have serious control issues. Okay. And to expect them to pull our butts out the fire is not logical. So quit taking them so seriously. They're just
well,
a fad.
I'm wondering what in the world we can do that will...
They're a fad, dear. They're going to pass. Just like kings and queens passed, at least
right.
For the most part. Politicians are going to pass, too. Okay? The earth changes. We'll see to that. You know? So quit taking it all so seriously.
So in other
quit
words, 100 years from now, we may be all roaming the plains, chasing the buffalo, just like was happening when the
Europeans... And looking for hookups for our laptops.
Yeah. Where's our laptops going to be?
And our laps, probably. Because it's not like modern technology is bad,
mm-hmm.
Okay? It's just a tool, okay? A hammer... And the hands of a serial killer is an unwanted tool, shall we say.
Right, right.
But a hammer and the tools of a carpenter, right, can be incredibly useful.
Yeah,
so
make
technology,
some absolutely incredible structures out of it.
Exactly. So technology is not the problem. It's the way technology is used. That can be the problem.
I can hear Amazing Grace in the background.
Yes, that
means
that we've run out of
time. I thank you very much.
So my words of wisdom would be this. Your life is a present. Celebrate it.
Yes. Yes.
And thank you for having me. I've enjoyed it muchly. I hope others have enjoyed me.
Well, if you have any thing more exciting you want to tell, you're always welcome. And so, folks, tune in tomorrow to find out how to start your own newspaper in your own region, or how maybe even to become a distributor of USA Tomorrow. And Tom Chittum is going to be on Wednesday. Do you know who Tom Chittum is? He wrote the book called Civil War II. I read that in 1991, and oh, my God, everything he wrote about way back then is coming true. See you tomorrow. You're listening to RumorMillNewsRadio.com on the Micro Effect Radio Network. Oh,